Good morning. I'll be reading the scripture today. If you can turn with me on your phones or paper or screen to Matthew 16, and we'll read just one verse. Matthew 16, 24. I'll be reading from the NASB version. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." The scriptures are as relevant today as they were then.
Nice job, Matt. Scripture reading, bass, all of it. Great job. Good morning. Doing all right this morning? Good. If you're a guest, we're glad you're here. My name is Dallas, one of the leaders here. If you get a chance afterwards, introduce yourself. I'd love to get your story, get to know you just a little bit better. Let me tell you where we're at. We are in the second week of a series called The Narrow Way. And last week, we looked at Mark chapter 1 when Jesus comes proclaiming the good news. And what is the good news? The good news is that the kingdom of God has come near, and we can repent, which is to align ourselves with God's will, God's ways, God's thinking. And this week, and the weeks to come, we're going to look at discipleship in Jesus' day. What was it? There are really three steps, and today we're going to talk about the first one exclusively. Now, when I graduated college, it was time to start figuring out, what does life look like now? What kind of job am I going to have? Where am I going to live? What kind of house am I going to live in? What kind of bills am I going to have? How am I going to spend my extra time? Do I start drinking coffee like a lot of adults do? Do I start talking about the weather often like adults do? What does my life look like now? All these questions, all these things are happening, right, when you finish school. But if a baseball team would have called me and drafted me to play baseball, I would have left all that other stuff behind and gone wherever they told me. If somebody said, "Hey, you're going to Seattle to play baseball," I would have gone to Seattle to play baseball. Miami, whatever. You're going to tell me how to spend my time? Fine. I'll do whatever it is you ask me to. I will drop everything and go and do that thing. Now, that never happened, and I'm mostly over it. It's not a big deal, all right? But think about that thing, maybe when you finish your schooling. What's the thing that you would have dropped everything for? Maybe it was that great business opportunity. Maybe there was some event or something that if you had been invited into it, you'd have dropped everything to follow after that. Now you're getting close to the idea of discipleship in Jesus' day. It was such an honor for a rabbi, a teacher — we're going to use those terms synonymously, a rabbi is a teacher, so I'll just say teacher from now on — but a teacher to say, "Follow me," that was such an incredible, incredible moment that you would drop everything and you would follow after him. See, you could only hope or even dream that a teacher in that day would say, "Follow me, follow me." That's the first step in discipleship, when Jesus says, "Follow me." See, you'd have regular schooling until about the age of 11, where you'd learn about the Old Testament, you'd learn about the Torah, you'd learn about the prophecy and that sort of thing. But most students at that point, at 11 years old, they were done with schooling. That was it. But if you were really advanced, you know, you were like that AP student, then you had three more years of schooling if you were really advanced. And you'd learn to memorize the Torah. You'd learn to even memorize the Old Testament if you could. You learn about all this prophecy, and you learn to speak eloquently and all these different things for three more years. But if you were the best of the very, very best at that point, at about 14 or 15 years old, you would send your resume out. You'd go up to a teacher in that day, and you'd fall to their feet, and you'd say, "Please, please, please, let me follow you." And most of the time, the teachers of that day would say, "No thanks. You don't meet my qualifications, no." But every now and then, somebody would get that beautiful phrase, "Follow me." which meant, yes, you can be a disciple of mine. Now, when Jesus starts his ministry, in Mark chapter 1, like we read last week, he talks about the kingdom of God coming near and that we can repent and align ourselves to him. And then right after that, he calls his very first disciples, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Now, they jump at the chance to follow after a teacher. Why? Well, they're doing the family trade. They've been passed on. I mean, they didn't make the cut. So when Jesus comes and he says, follow me, man, they drop everything immediately and they follow after him. Why? Because this is such an incredible invitation for them. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me. That's Jesus saying, come and be my disciple, and I will send you out to fish for people. Now, we won't get into this much today, but he's bringing in the first stage of discipleship and the third stage. See, if you were called to follow a rabbi and be a disciple, it was baked in that eventually you yourself would become a great teacher. So what he's saying is, you have the opportunity now to drop everything, follow me, learn from me, be a disciple, and one day you also will become a great teacher. See, Jesus is a great leader, but he's also a great developer of leaders. He says, follow me and I will teach you to fish for people. Verse 18. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. You see that immediately, without delay, they jump at the opportunity. Now think of the moment here. I mean, I don't know if they had, if these boys had sent their resumes even to a teacher to potentially follow them. I don't know if they ever did that. Maybe they were such poor students at that time that they didn't even consider that that was a possibility. And yet, here, a great teacher is coming to them. I mean, usually you had to go and fall at their feet and say, please, please, please let me follow you. But now Jesus, this great teacher, is coming and saying, I'm picking you out specifically. I want you to be a disciple of mine. He actually goes to them. It's an amazing, amazing thing. And of course, they just say, yes. I mean, I thought my chance to follow a great teacher and become a great teacher, I thought that was long past. So of course, yes, I'll drop everything. I'll leave my dad in the boat and come follow you right now in this moment. As a very weak example, it'd be like if the Atlanta Braves 13 years later came to me and said, Dallas, we need a center fielder. You're our guy. Come on out. Of course, I'd jump at the opportunity to do that. But in the back of my mind, I would wonder, why me? I mean, I haven't played baseball in 13 years. And when I did play, when I was at my peak, all the other teams passed on me. My play was not up to snuff. So what is Jesus, what is he doing here? This is what's so bizarre about Jesus. He goes and he handpicks his followers, all of whom didn't measure up to the standards of the other teachers of the day. What is he doing? Why would he do that? Why not pick the very best students? See, Jesus is doing something entirely new here. He isn't looking for the best students. He's looking for the right ones. And in this moment, you might still think, how could these 12 be the right ones? I mean, you got the sons of thunder who get angry real quick. You got Peter, who later his plan is he's just going to take on all of Rome with a sword. I mean, impulsive as can be. You've got people like Judas, greedy, selfish. I mean, you got people like Matthew the tax collector, who is like the traitor of traitors. And then on the other end, you got Simon the zealot, which a lot of people would say he could have even been a terrorist of that day. I mean, at every turn, you're thinking, Jesus, are you trying to sabotage your own ministry with the people you pick? I mean, what are you even doing here? Well, Jesus, had different qualifications to follow him. Matthew 16:24, as Matt read for us. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." I mean, this do we understand how counter to the culture this is in this moment? I mean, at that point, the qualifications to follow a teacher at that point was, do you have the Old Testament memorized? I mean, do you understand prophecy? Can you give that killer sermon, man? That eloquent speech? Do you come from a great family? All these different things were the qualifications. It was all about those personal qualifications. Basically, what Jesus is doing here is the opposite of what teachers before him had done. I mean, set aside the fact that he's talking about whoever, which is incredible in and of itself. I mean, he's saying anybody can be his disciple. That's amazing. Because the teachers of the day were so picky on who could actually follow them. And now the Son of God is picking his followers. You would think it would even be higher qualifications needed in order to follow him. But he says, whoever, anyone can follow him. And all you got to do in order to follow him is to deny yourself, which in part means to deny your qualifications and deny your earning. And this is why the religious leaders struggled so much with this idea from Jesus, because everything was built on qualifications and earning. You got to earn your way to follow a rabbi. You got to earn your way with God. You got to do enough. But Jesus comes along and he says, no, I don't call the qualified, I qualify the called. It's an entirely different structure here, which is good news to people like Peter, who knew he didn't have much going for him. And some of these other disciples who said, yeah, I missed the boat before. And now this great teacher's coming and saying, follow me. Yeah, I'm excited about this idea. But it's not so good news for everyone, especially if you like your qualifications, if you think you've gotten ahead of others. The question I have for us is this good news to you today, that your qualifications no longer have any merit? Here's how you can gauge that. Suppose you've been following Jesus for 70 years, faithfully, extremely faithfully. You wake up every morning and the first thought you have is Jesus, every day for 70 years. And before you go to bed and you close your eyes, Jesus. Everything is Jesus for 70 years. But you've got this friend who for the last 70 years has done whatever it is that they wanted to do. In fact, maybe they've even spit in your face time and time again. Maybe they've been really rude. Maybe they've been treating you more like an enemy than a friend. But all of a sudden, after 7 decades, Jesus calls this person to follow them right before they die. And you both get to heaven. And God says something like, I'm so happy to see both of you. Here's the way to the party. How do you respond? I mean, how do you feel about that? If it's anything but excited, then I think we've missed the opportunity here. We've missed that it's about his qualifications and not our own. See, he has foundationally changed the game. Humility is now the prerequisite. It's putting all of our stock in his achievement, his performance, his qualifications, and not our own. And he says anyone willing to do that can follow him. It doesn't matter your race, your age, your background. It doesn't matter if you murdered people for a living for decades, or you came out the womb and your first word was Jesus, Jesus. Or if you grew up in a Christian home, grew up in an atheist home, you had a great line, a family, or didn't, Jesus says, I'm the great equalizer. Anyone who will deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me could be my disciple. So for Peter, he knew, I don't have much going for me. This is good news. Is it good news to you today? These disciples jump at the opportunity to follow after Jesus. Are you jumping at the chance to follow after Jesus? To be honest, sometimes today it's like pulling teeth just to get people to fit Jesus into their schedule at all. I think we think we don't really need him anymore. You know what I mean? I mean, we've earned some things. We earned that car. We earned that house. We earned our position. We did all these things. So what we do instead is we hold on because we've got all these things that we like. And yet we say, I still know I need Jesus for salvation, so let me fit him in somewhere in my schedule. Because I know I need that aspect of my life, but yet I want to hold on to my qualifications. I want to hold on to all these different things. But here's the thing. Jesus isn't looking for followers who will work him into their schedule. He's looking for followers who will let him run their lives completely. That's the invitation. Drop your fishing poles, jump out of the boat, and run. Drop your earning, drop your qualifications, drop your comparison to other people, and just run towards his qualification and this grace that he gives to us. Now, most people never really do that. But let me say something else on the other side of it. We can overcorrect and say, I'm done with earning, so let me just focus on this watered-down version of grace. We think because Jesus invites all of us and offers such grace to us that now we can just accept the invitation but still just go on doing what we want. And that's not the invitation. Maybe people will point to things like when Paul says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you'll be saved. But the reality is, in order to confess something, it has to be true. In order for you to confess that Jesus is Lord, he has to actually be Lord of your life, which is to have all authority over your life. See, grace is not a license to do what we want. Grace is the invitation to let our lives be run by what he wants. He says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, not simply use Jesus as a get-out-of-hell-free card. And I don't mean to be too hard on us this morning. I really don't. But I love us enough to say that there will be a lot of people who come judgment day. God will say, depart from me, I just didn't even know you. Why? Because we either wanted it our way, or we wanted to feel like we earned our way. See, self-denial means I drop what I want, and I drop my earning. The Christian life is we want things his way and we want his qualifications. That's the prerequisite. So, you might this morning be saying, I'd love to accept this opportunity to follow after Jesus, but I don't see a physical Jesus wandering the earth here today. So what does that look like now to accept the invitation to follow after him? Well, we do have the Spirit of God that he's left with us to be led by. Turn with me to Romans 8, verses 14 and 15. It says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you may live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. So while we don't have a physical Jesus on the earth, we do have the Spirit of God here to follow. And Paul expands on this idea in Galatians 5, verse 16. He says, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Go on down to Galatians 5, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So essentially, accepting the call to follow him today is to be led by God into what is good and right. Now first, let's focus on that being led in general. David says in Psalm 23, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. And there's a lot there in that statement. The admission that he's not a shepherd. And he's not his own shepherd. And he's not doing any leading anymore. He is being led. Are you being led? I mean, really, and think about it in the morning. Are you going where God desires for you to go? Or are you just fitting Jesus into the schedule that you've already predetermined? David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I go where he desires for me to go. And then he says, he leads me into paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's accepting the invitation to follow, which means we can't follow the culture. We can't follow our friend's new idea about whatever ideology. We can't follow the crowd. We can't follow our desires. And we can't follow our feelings. We follow after God, where he's leading us. I think I told you guys this before, but I knew Morgan was the one for me when she broke up with me. So that was interesting. I hold it over her every now and then still. Like, you remember that time you broke up with me? But what she had said was, look, I knew she loved me at the time. I did. And essentially what she said was, she goes, you know, you're the second most important person to me, but you're starting to rival the most important person, so you're out. And I thought, wow, what faith. I mean, isn't that what it looks like to just boldly follow after Jesus? To say, all these good things, seemingly good things, if they get in the way at all, you're out. You're done. Get everything else out of the way and follow after Jesus. You know, there's a lot that's in the way today, isn't there? I want to follow after Jesus, but I also want to follow blank. Fill in that blank this morning. So the first step in discipleship to Jesus is to follow him. The second step is to become like him. And we'll process through that next week. But as we conclude, worship team, you guys can come back up. Do you see following Jesus as the great invitation that it truly is? Is he worth dropping everything and following after? Matthew 13, 44 says this. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. See, what it's saying here is, we don't just bring Jesus into our own lives, you know, fit him into our schedule. What this is saying here is we leave everything behind and go where he is. Instead of fitting him into our schedule, he is our schedule. I mean, is that our lives? Is that what Grace Meadows Church is marked by? Because here's the thing, by the world standards, there's a lot of people in this community, in this congregation, who have a lot, and there's nothing wrong with that. As long as you realize, at the end of the day, the earning, the qualifications, all that means nothing. That it's his qualifications. It's what he wants, and it's his qualifications. We drop everything else, and we say, I'm getting out of the boat, and I'm leaving behind everything to follow after Jesus. During this time of worship, maybe you yourself have never accepted that invitation. Now's a great time to do it. Come talk to me. Come talk to a leader. Or maybe there are people in your life, especially kids, grandkids, you just want God to work in, man. You know, they've been following after everything else but Jesus. During this time of worship, it's a great time to pray earnestly on behalf of their hearts, man. Because nothing else matters at the end of the day than us first dropping everything and saying, yeah, I'll follow you. As you so graciously have come to me and said, follow me, I accept. and I'm following nothing else but you. Let's pray. Father, I pray that that will be true in this congregation. I pray that will be true in our hearts. Father, before we figure out all the details, before we look at the results, before we try to earn anything, before we think about what we want, I pray just for hearts in this room that say, no, I want to deny all those things and just follow after you. You did something new here. You dropped the qualifications needed because it's your qualifications. And we're so thankful, and we just jump, man. Just create in us hearts that just jump at this opportunity, that just get excited and liberated and just freely run and say, I'm getting out of the boat. And nothing else matters but to just follow after you. You're so gracious to allow us to do that. We love you a lot. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, let's worship.